You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to this year's renewal of the Breeders' Cup back at Santa Anita. And before we get stuck into the action, just a note. You can watch all of the racing for free on Betting TV on Friday and Saturday. All you do is click on the William Hill app, turn the Betting TV toggle on, and you'll be able to watch all of the action from the Breeders' Cup for free. Or you can visit wh.cm/TV for that. Right, let's get stuck into the racing. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me on the line is Alistair Whitehouse-Jones from the Racing Post. He writes a big piece for the Breeders' Cup in the Weekender every year, and he's back on the line now. How are you, Alistair?
Very well, thank you, Mark.
Good, good man. Now, the first thing we look ahead to on Saturday night is the 7.05. This is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, a Grade 1 on the dirt over a mile and, well, it's almost a mile and half a furlong, really. Union Strike is the 9-2 market leader, 11-2 for Noted and Quartered. Yellow Agate is 6-1. 6-1 as well for Sweet Loretta. 8-1 for American Gal. With Honours is 10s. It's also 10s for Valadonna. And 11-1 for Jameson and Ginger and Daddy's Little Darling and 12-1 Bar Those. I must admit, Alistair, this is a race that I wouldn't really know too much about myself.
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, last year we had a superb winner of this in Songbird who was an odds-on chance and won accordingly. This time there would appear to be no outstanding contender, and hence they're betting 9-2 the field. I mean, Union Strike was sent favourite when beating American Cleopatra in the debutante stakes at Del Mar. It wasn't a mind-blowing performance. It was, you know, she was under the pump a long way out and admittedly was strong in the finish, but she took an absolute age to get to the front. You know, it's not mind-blowing form. The one I was going to take a chance on was Yellow Agate, who trades at 6-1 with William Hill. I mean, she didn't exactly show a mind-blowing change of gear either when edging home in the Frisette at Belmont Park, but she was strong in the finish that day, and the front two were a long way clear. You know, she's a very expensive yearling, definitely bred to improve with her racing and over this trip. And she'll be going two turns for the first time, but on pedigree, that's not going to be an issue. And, you know, there really is no knocking a Grade 1 victory on just her second career start. And she's got a lot of potential, this filly. So I expect Yellow Agate to take the opener on the Saturday.
Yellow Gate then for Alistair in the 7.05. The 7.43 is the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf for Grade 1 for 3-year-olds and older on the turf over a mile and a quarter. And a lot of people will be looking at Seventh Heaven from this side of the Atlantic. Alistair, do you think she's got a decent chance?
She's got a good chance, but if you make a case for her, then you've got to make a case for Queen's Trust. If we just kick on with Lady Eli to start with, of course, a winner at the meeting in the past. She heads the market. I wasn't overly taken with her last time in the prep race, even though she won the Flower Bowl at Belmont. That form definitely looks dubious. I mean, the runner-up, Centurio Italia, has come up short in all her four appearances at the top level. And Lady Eli came there looking as though she'd win well, but she sort of stalled once in front and was looking about. And this filly's had a lot of issues, a lot of physical issues since winning at this meeting as a juvenile. And I definitely have doubts about whether she is quite the same force that she was. So I think this could be set up for a European victory. As I said, Seventh Heaven and Queen's Trust, there's not a lot between these two on their runs in the Fillies and Mares on Champions Day at Ascot, when they both played minor roles behind the hugely impressive winner Journey. I mean, neither had the run of the race that day, but they were virtually upside one another two furlongs out, and it was Queen's Trust who finished ahead. I don't see why she, you know, is a bigger price than Seventh Heaven. Dropping back to a mile and a quarter won't be an issue. I mean, she gave Minding, you know, something to think about in the Nassau Stakes. And this is a filly who is definitely a typical stout, slow burner. And, you know, I think she's going to produce a career-best performance at the weekend, and that could well be enough to win this. I think at the current prices, I think she's the better the meeting each way.
Right, interesting stuff. Queen's Trust, then better the meeting. Yeah, I was going to say typical Sir Michael Stout late improver, because she's only got the one success so far in her seven outings, but she's getting better with each one. And obviously, like you mentioned, that Group 1 form last time stands up a little bit, doesn't it? So
absolutely. And this is a filly who's not had, apart from in the Sussex Stakes, when she's the only one to give Minding a race, nothing has really gone away. Not at York, not at Ascot last time. Even in the Ribblesdale, you know, she was hampered early doors, and I just think this filly is destined to produce a career best at the weekend. I really do.
All right, on to the 8.21 next then. This is the Breeders' Cup Sprint, a grade one on the dirt over six furlongs. Lord Nelson is the 3-1 favourite. Drefong is 7-2. Masochistic is 4-1. No Holding Bear is 14s. Limousine Liberal is 14-1. 20s or bigger for the others. Several ways you could go into this race, Alistair. I'll start with Mike Smith choosing Masochistic over Drefong. He had the pick of the two. I actually heard him say it was due to the draw mainly, but what do you make of the race?
Yeah, I can see that point, but you can get bogged down with the draw. I mean, at Santa Anita, both on the dirt and the turf track, it should be a factor. But if you look at past history, the draw isn't as influential as it should be. I wouldn't be going overly, I wouldn't let it be affecting your opinion too much, even if you're drawn. I mean, Roly Poly's drawn wide on the opening day, and I don't think that's going to be a massive inconvenience. So, I mean, Bob Baffert has won this four times in the past. I think Lord Nelson and Drefong are two of his horses, and they're prominent in the market. I think there's good reason to believe Lord Nelson can leave his latest piece of form behind. And he was only a workman-like winner in his prep race, but that was on the back of a 2 months absence. And knowing the way Bob Baffert operates, that almost certainly was just oil in the chain, if you like, ahead of the day that really matters. And I think if you rate his prospects through his demolition job of a real quality field in the Bing Crosby at Del Mar, when he won that by four lengths in a really quick time, I think if he reproduces that form, and I definitely expect him to step up on that latest run, then I think he could well be the answer to this. The other one to mention, the other interesting, was his AP Indian. I mean, he heads west as the undisputed sprint king of the East. He's got five wins on the bounce, including Saratoga's most prestigious stakes race for older sprinters last time out. But connections have never won at this meeting, and he's facing his by far and away his toughest test yet, a long way from home. So I think he could be worth taking on, and I think Lord Nelson could be the answer.
Lord Nelson, then, the answer for Alistair in the 8.21. The 9.05 is the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, a grade one over 6.5 furlongs. Washington DC, 11-2 favourite. 8-1 for Pure Sensation. Mongolian Saturday is 8-1. 8-1 for Celestine. A Lot is 9-1. 9-1 also undrafted. Suede War is 10-1. 11-1 for Home of the Brave. Holy Loot is 11s. 12s for obviously in Carrar, and 12-1 or bigger prices for the others as well. A real good renewal here, Alistair. It looks competitive.
Absolutely. I mean, it's always one of the, especially when it's staged at Santa Anita, it's always one of the highlights of the meeting, if nothing else, because this is a completely unique examination in the world of sprinting, if you like. I mean, they've got an opening downhill stretch that is then followed by a dog leg, and then that sweeps into, it's a right-handed dog leg, then it sweeps into the straight, and it's just a test that takes a lot of knowing, and it's no coincidence, I don't think, that four of the last five renewals staged at this venue have gone to course and distance winners. In 2014, they went absolutely nuts up front. They went, Bobby's Kitten, the winner, was stone cold last at one point, and finished like, the proverbial train to win. The leaders just couldn't maintain the ridiculously fast gallop they went. You can see a similar scenario occurring at the weekend. And for that reason, I think the interesting horse here is Wesley Ward's Undrafted, who is actually having his third start in this race. He was a closing third here two seasons ago in that same race. And when fifth last year, you have to remember that the last year's race at Keeneland was over a shorter trip and also on ground that was a lot slower for this horse. As a result, he couldn't really get involved. But I'd definitely expect a far better performance at the weekend, back on a faster surface, and more importantly, over this longer trip. He's always a strong finisher, this horse, even on his forays over to Britain. He's got a decent tactical speed, but he's a hold-up performer who needs a fast pace up front. He's almost certainly going to get that. He's effective round here, and at 9-1, I think he is, without question, the better of the race. I mean, Washington DC is favourite, but you've got to remember that this horse has some decent form to his name in Europe of late, but that's most of it's been over five furlongs. They're going to go absolutely manic here over 6.5, and he won't know what's hitting around here, because this is a completely different sort of examination than what he's been facing back home in Europe. So I think if he's market leader, then I'm well happy to take him on.
All right, and taking him on with Undrafted then. What do you make of Holy Loot, by the way? Comes here chasing the hat-trick, and you mentioned course and distance form. At 11-1, could he sneak into the frame a little bit, perhaps?
He could well do, yeah. Like you said, he should never underestimate course and distance form at Santa Anita on the sprint course, but this would take a career best. You know, yes, he's progressive, but whether one or two of these will have his measure, I suspect they will.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the next race, which is at 9:43. This is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, a grade one for two-year-old colts and geldings on the dirt over the extended mile. And Gormley is the 92 market leader, 5-1 for Syndergaard. That has been supported over the last few days as well, 13-2 into 5-1. The Todd Pletcher runner, Classic Empire is 5-1, Not This Time is 5-1 as well, 13-2 for Practical Joke, Klimt is 15-2, and it's 9-1 bar those. What do you make of Gormley, Alistair? Two from two, and looks incredibly exciting.
Yeah, he does. There's no question that he had the run of the race in the front runner stakes over this course and distance last time. I mean, Klimt, who I think is 15-2, you said there, he was actually odds on for that. And I mean, Gormley was totally let loose on the lead, allowed to dictate its own fractions, whereas Klimt, I mean, the jockey did not have his finest hour off a slow pace. He was held up stone cold last and was simply never put in the race with a chance. Like I said, he was odds on for that. Had he not, you know, if you put a line through that piece of form, and I really do think it's extremely dubious, then, you know, he would be favourite for this. So, you know, I think Klimt at 15-2 really is well overpriced. I think the bookmakers are taking a literal reading of that latest piece of form in the front runner, and that shouldn't be the case. You know, I just don't see how Gormley should be so much shorter than Klimt. So purely from a value perspective, I'm going to go for the Bob Baffert colt to gain his revenge.
Klimt for Alistair in the 9:43. Then moving on to the 10:22 next, which is the Breeders' Cup Turf, a grade one over a mile and a half for three-year-olds and older. We've got, well, should we start with Found here, Alistair? Logical starting point, I suppose.
Yeah, this is... Now it is probably the race to watch, isn't it? You know, even if I'd found Gorm for the Classic, it was exciting. But now that she's defending her crown in the turf, really does make this a red-hot race. And, you know, she's danced every dance in Europe, hasn't she? And the fact that no Arquina has ever won at the Breeders' Cup is a damning statistic, it has to be said. I know Golden Horn went close 12 months ago, but I guess if any horse is going to... is going to make the breakthrough, then it's Found, who is as tough as they come. And, you know, connections have definitely seen the light in running in the turf, as opposed to, you know, taking on California Chrome in the Classic, which would have been unfair, I think, for Found on the back of a tough season to throw her into that sort of challenge. Yes, she's going to take a lot of beating, but whereas, you know, I wouldn't say this is an afterthought, but like I said, she's danced every dance in Europe. She's had an extremely tough autumn campaign, whereas market rival Flintshire has been trained specifically with this race in mind. And the ex-Andre Farb, Judd Monty-owned contender, I think is definitely the one to beat. The key to this horse, as we always, you know, has always been the case, is fast ground, which... he definitely didn't get last time out in the Turf Classic at Belmont, when a shock odds on defeat behind the hands of Ektot. That relinquished his unbeaten record for his new stable. But as I said, the rain-sodden turf was totally against him. He'd previously been untouchable in his previous three runs. And, you know, this is the standout turf performer in America. And on his ground, on the back of a near-perfect preparation. I mean, as I said, you can completely draw a line through that latest run. He'll be fresher than a lot of these. And I think Flintshire really should be favourite to beat Found, and I expect him to floor the flag bearer for Europe over the weekend.
Yes, obviously won this race last year in quite different conditions as well, wasn't it? Obviously a different track. It was pretty muddy, wasn't it, that day as well when she beat Golden Horn. It's going to be much quicker this time around, and you'd feel that would probably play into Flintshire's hands more than Founder. She has performed on quicker surfaces in the past, but I don't think she's ever won on a real quick surface.
No, it's just that Fincher is an exceptional performer. I mean, there aren't many better than him in the, you know, in the world on fast ground. Yeah. I know Highland Reel beat him in the Hong Kong Vars last year, but that was principally down to an absolute masterclass by Ryan Moore. I mean, there's nothing not to like about this filly, and I think it'd be great to see a win. But the fact that no Arquin has ever won at the meeting in the past just highlights what a stiff task she faces. And you know, it's not as though, you know, some good ones haven't tried, so, you know, such as Golden Horn and Dancing Brave, of course. So it would be great if she could win it, but I think to beat Fincher in his own backyard under his optimum conditions, you know, I think she's going to be needs to be absolutely on a very top game. And whether she'll be that after, you know, not only winning the Arc, but then, you know, also a tough race at Ascot in the Champions Stakes as well. It's asking a hell of a lot.
Yeah. All right, so signing with Fincher in the Breeders' Cup Turf. Anything else that could sneak into the frame? We've only really mentioned Fincher and Fall now, haven't we? Bigger odds, anything? There's 17 runners, isn't there? So something.
Yeah, I mean, Highland Reel, there's nothing not to like about this horse. As I said, the concern with him is that when he bumps into a top notcher at the very peak of its powers, then he tends to come up short. And you know, this is a, you can see him running well, but maybe get placed at best. I think Sir Michael Stead's Lysis is worth a mention. Of course, you know, ran moderately in the Derby, went very well backed, and was beaten favourite in a Group 3 at Windsor last time. So on paper, he's got an awful lot to prove. But I think there's a lot of depth to this race, and the fact that Sir Michael Stout's happy to run him would suggest that there's still a bit of untapped potential lurking with that horse. And at bigger prices, I guess he'd be the interesting one.
Yeah, and Sir Michael Stout's won this race a few times, hasn't he? He's won it with Conduit, he's won it with Kalanisi in the past as well. So
yeah, he's got a good meet. He doesn't send runners there for the hell of it. You know, if he's sending them there, then he's deep down he fancies something. So.
All right then, that's the Breeders' Cup Turf then. Onto the 11:01 next, which is the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, a Grade 1 over 7 furlongs for a sprint on the dirt, which is an interesting element in itself. What do you make of this race, Alistair? I'll just go through the betting. Karina Mia, 3-1 favourite. Have You Gone Away is 4-1, 7-1 By the Moon. Irish Jasper 8, 9-1 for Wavell Avenue. Tara's Tango, 10-1 with Paula's Silver Lining, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others.
Yeah, again, this is a division where, at the minute, there's no outstanding performer. The one I'm going to side with here, I mean, this is I've got no massively strong opinion on this race. I think it's extremely difficult. But I think Have You Gone Away, this five-year-old, is an absolute model of consistency. Been in the money in all bar one of her last 16 appearances, and most recently at Saratoga. Probably ran her best race yet when defeating several of her likely rivals in the Ballerina Stakes, a Grade 1 that is always influential with a view to this race. As I said, the beauty about this mare is not only her consistency, but her versatility. She is as effective at sprinting as she is over the 7. Tactically can be ridden anywhere in a race. I mean, having stalked the leading group in the Ballerina, you know, she did well to close them down, really, on a card during which very few runners came from off the pace. And that is without question a key piece of form, as in second was By the Moon and third was Karina Mia, two of her market rivals. And I think if Have You Gone Away can replicate that form and the race pans out favourably, then I think she'll definitely give you a run for your money, if nothing else.
Have You Gone Away then for Alistair there? The penultimate race that we look at is the 11:40, the Breeders' Cup Mile. It's a Grade 1 over a mile, of course. On the turf, Limato is the 5-2 favourite. 11-4 for Tepin. Alice Springs is 9-2. 10-1 Ironicus. Spectre is 16s with Miss Temple City. 20-1 for Photo Call and Dutch Connection. Midnight Storm, another at 20s and 33-1. Or bigger prices for the others. Real good renewal to look forward to here, Alistair. You got Tepin, who won the race last year, coming back to defend her crown. You got Limato coming over for Henry Candy, who you'd say would have perfect conditions here. And Alice Springs thrown into the mix as well. So real interesting battle between the top three in the market there.
Absolutely. Again, this is a race well worth waiting up for. Due off at 11:40. Start with last year's winner, Tepin. Definitely as good now as she was 12 months ago, judged on, you know, a trio of top-level victories, of course, including the Queen Anne at Royal Ascot, a race at Limato. Was fancied to give her a race, in fairness, but decided to swerve it when the ground went soft. it would be easy to put a line through that shock defeat at Keeneland last time when, you know, it has to be said, she was given a naive ride behind a horse who stole a march on her. But, you know, I guess she did hack up in that race last year en route to this. And, you know, that first defeat in nine runs, you know, it's not great timing, is it, ahead of, you know, what is arguably her main objective for the season. And this is without question a better race than 12 months ago when she beat Mondi Elise, the David O'Meara horse. I think at short odds, I think there's value, definitely value to be had in going against her each way.
Okay, so who do you take on with?
The interesting one for me is Limato, a horse I've been a massive fan of all season. Not once have I backed him, but nonetheless, I think this horse can finally give Britain a win in the mile. French horses do well in this race. We haven't. I think that's principally because what you need in the mile is a horse with sprint speed, or definitely 7 furlong speed, because as a rule, they don't go particularly quick, and it's a turn of foot as opposed to, you know, stamina that wins the day. And it's hard to believe, but we've not had the winner of the mile since Barathea won in 1994. So it's been a long time between drinks, but I think Limato has got everything in his armoury to beat Tepin. If he's within striking distance, a furlong or so out, then I expect his superior change of gear to win the day. I mean, as I said, tactical speed is an essential attribute, as is the ability to quicken in the sprint finish. I mean, even last year's race was expected to, you know, there's a lot of front runners, and the general consensus was that they were going to go very fast, and they didn't. It turned into a sprint finish. And as I said, you know, Limato essentially is a high-class sprinter. But he has, you know, run over a mile. Of course, he was not beaten a million miles in the lock-ins earlier in the season over a straight mile at Newbury, and Santa Anita is going to be far more up his horse's street than the long straight at Newbury, and especially with the ground almost certainly going to be right up his street. You know, fast ground is what this horse wants. You know, since that defeat at Newbury, his season has gone from strength to strength. He was a superb winner of the July Cup at Newmarket. I mean, rarely can you think of a more impressive winner of that Group 1 in recent years. And even in the Prix de la Forêt on Arc weekend, you know, that customary turn of foot he showed over 7 furlongs. I mean, he won that by 3 lengths. That is a seriously good piece of form to, you know, the July Cup over 6, the Forêt over 7. He's won those literally doing handsprings. And as long as he can hold his form for one final time, then I think Limato has an exceptional chance.
Yeah, that record you mentioned, that no British winner since 1994, it's hard to believe, isn't it, when you think of all the good milers we've had over here. But hopefully...
Well, absolutely.
Hopefully Limato can...
You think of the mile, you know, you think of the mile a bit similar to the turf. You just think, well, it's a race, the Europeans always fancy their chances. But as I said, you know, thankfully, of course, Goldacova won it 3 times. It's principally down to the French and not the Brits that we've done so well in it. I think Alice Springs is well worth a mention as well. Another... you know, cast iron filly from Ballydoyle. She wasn't no more than workmanlike in the Sun Chariot at Newmarket last time, but, you know, the form of the Matron Stakes win at Leopardstown looks good, and that was round a bend as well. I suspect she was slightly flattered by the track bias that day as she came wide down the middle of the track, and if you remember that Leopardstown card, a lot of the impressive winners actually took the same route, so the bare form could be a little flattering, but anything Aidan O'Brien sends there needs respecting. And as I said, this filly will have optimum conditions and could easily run into a place.
Okay, but for you, you're with Limato, yes?
I am. I've been a big fan of Limato all season. I'm just glad that they've opted for the mile in preference to the sprint. And I think it'll be an inspired decision.
Yeah, hopefully so. The 12:35 is the big race of the night then. It's the Breeders' Cup Classic. Grade 1 on the dirt, over a mile and a quarter. California Chrome was available at 6-4 a few days ago. Now only 4-5 in the market. 11-4 for Arrogate. Frosted is 15-2. 20-1 Melatonin. Shaman Ghost is 20-1 as well. 20-1 for Opportunity. 33-1 for FNX. And 40-1 are bigger prices for the others. We must start with the superstar that is California Chrome. Alistair has got a little bit of unfinished business at Santa Anita. Only finished third in the Classic here a couple of years ago, and comes here apparently, if you believe what you read and what you hear, better than ever this time round. So is he undoubtedly the one to beat?
Without question. I mean, this is the best dirt horse in the world by some margin. You're right, he has got unfinished business. He was third in this 2 years ago. That was as a fairly undervalued. I mean, you know, he'd won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness Stakes, but even so, he was still a bit of a work in progress back then. And if you remember, he went into this race on the back of a nightmare preparation. He was very easy to back during the build-up, and to finish third and, you know, give Bayern and Toasted New York a race like he did, I think was an exceptional effort, and definitely expect him to go a couple of places better. He's unbeaten this year, of course, and, you know, heads back to Santa Anita following six from six. And, you know, the Dubai World Cup in March seems a long time ago now, but that was an heroic performance. And you could argue that he's an even better horse now. I mean, his slamming of Star Mare Beholder by five lengths in the Pacific Classic at Del Mar was widely acclaimed as the, you know, the best performance worldwide in 2016 so far. And there was no let up here. A month ago, when he made all en route to winning the Grade One Awesome Again Stakes, again, that was no picnic by any means, not with old rival Dortmund pestering him in early doors, but he just completely blew that horse away, took him out of his comfort zone, won by, what was it, an ease down couple of lengths, and it could have been a lot more. You know, this horse comes into the race at the very peak of his powers. We know he's the best horse in the race. The only one doubt would be this horse doesn't like crowding. Normally that doesn't matter because nothing is good enough to get close to him. But if his rivals did formulate a plan to somehow scupper his strengths, team tactics, that sort of thing, you never know. And that would be the only way they can get this horse beat. He's an absolute superstar, the best horse on dirt. And he should win, and win very well. The one horse who could give him a race, and he's a bit of an unknown quantity, is Arrogate. You know, Bob Buffett knows exactly what it takes to win this. His Sole Defeat came on his debut. Since then, it's been all good. He was incredibly impressive in the Travers Stakes in August. I mean, to win any Group 1 or Grade 1 by a double figure margin, it takes some doing. But to do so in a race of that stature, you know, it was incredibly impressive. And, you know, the runner-up is no slouch. He'd previously finished second in a Grade 1, so the form is very hard to knock. It has to be said that winners of the Travers Stakes have a desperate record in the Classic. Keen Ice extended their losing sequence to 22, no doubt, when only 12 months ago. But other than that, three-year-olds have a solid record. They've held their own. They've won this 11 times in 32 years, and Arrogate would be the only representative from the Classic generation. And he would be the danger, in as much that we still don't know how good this horse is. And, you know, he was so impressive last time that he's coming into this race as a serious improver. But him, like the rest, I think, is relying on California Chrome somehow fluffing his lines, and I just don't see it.
Yeah, California Chrome to win then in the Breeders' Cup Classic. It would bring the house down, I imagine, as well, wouldn't it, if you were to win that?
Absolutely, and the great thing about the Breeders' Cup, they do a lot of, you know, it gets a lot of criticism again, you know, in the fact that it's a self-proclaimed world championship and blah, blah, blah. But what it does is it does so many things right. And I'll tell you one thing that it does right and that we should learn from it is the fact that we knew the draw, all the runners, all the riders, when? For half the week. You know, that it was all done earlier in the week. So everybody knows exactly what's on the table. Everything is on the table at least 3 days in advance. And the other thing they do great is the fact that the Classic is the headline race, is the stellar race, and it's saved till last. And it just builds up into one massive crescendo. And as last year, when American Pharoah, of course, you know, raised the roof, hopefully California Chrome can do the same at the weekend.
Yeah, I've got that to look forward to, of course, on Friday and Saturday night. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, Alistair. Best bet then, you mentioned a couple that you really like along the way. What will be your best bet for the 2 days?
I like Lamarto. I think Roly Poly will go well on the Friday. I really like Undrafted as well. I think he's well overpriced. But if I was going to have a bet, I'd be backing Queen's Trust each way in the filly mare turf.
Superb. Thank you very much, Alistair. Good luck and enjoy on Friday and Saturday night.
Thank you, Mark.
That's the thoughts of Alistair Whitehouse-Jones then on the Breeders' Cup. Just another reminder, you can watch all of the racing live on Betting TV. Go to wh.cm/TV, or you can watch on the William Hill app, and that's free to air as well. You can watch all of it for free on Friday and Saturday night. So do check that out. Good luck if you're having a bet, and enjoy the action at this year's Breeders' Cup.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.